Today we're continuing our series, our In the Beginning series. And if you didn't have a chance last week to hear Pastor Tim share about Noah, I would encourage you to listen to the podcast. It was just a beautiful picture of God's sovereignty wrapped in grace and how he saves his people. So if you haven't had a chance, go back and give it a listen. And today we're going to be moving on to Father Abraham. And there's a song, I heard it already, that I sang as a child. Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. And we can stop right there. It's a fun song, and if you know it, teach it to your kids, because I remember learning about Father Abraham. Right arm, left arm, right leg, left leg, nod your head, turn around, sit down, at a very young age. But Abraham is the father of our faith. And many of us are familiar with the story, but this morning we're going to be looking back at the journey of promises that God gave to Abraham. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that there was men and women who have gone before us and have lived lives of faith. And we thank you that you spoke and you gave promises and they followed. And we ask God today, as we learn, as we hear from you, that you would impart something of power, something of greatness that would spark faith inside each and every one of us. Lord, impart to us that hope today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, to get started, we need to start at the beginning. And what we know about Abraham was that he was from Ur of the Chaldeans. And that was located in ancient Mesopotamia. And a few things that we know about that area is that it was a very wealthy region, and Ur was one of the most wealthiest cities in that region. They were pretty culturally advanced at that time. They had libraries and schools. Many of the inhabitants had nice homes with gardens. A lot of them had servants, and they were very wealthy. Also, for that area and time, it was a fairly populated city. They estimate that it had about 24,000 people living in it in the time of Abraham. But the other side of it is that it was a very spiritually dark place. They were a pagan culture. They worshipped many gods. It is believed, a lot of scholars believe, that Abraham's father was also a priest in following many of these different gods and religions. And so although it was wealthy and advanced in society, it was very spiritually dark. And that's where we pick up our story this morning. But to start our story, we're not going to start in the Old Testament. We're going to start in the New Testament, because Stephen gives what we believe is the very first account of the first call of Abraham. So we'll go to Acts 7, 2 through 3, where Stephen says, "Brothers and fathers, listen to me. The glory of God appeared to our father Abraham while he was still in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran. Leave your country and your people, God said, and go to the land that I will show you." God promised Abraham that if he would leave his country and journey to a land that he had never seen, God would make his descendants outnumber the stars in the sky and the sands of the seashore. God also promised Abraham that from one of his descendants, a seed would come that would be the savior of all mankind. And in his promise, there was only one way for it to be fulfilled, and we know that it could not have been done remaining in his homeland, because God intended for him to leave his faith, leave his family, all of their idolatry, and follow God's call. We know at this time, Abraham was somewhere between 60 and 70 years old. And I was thinking about that this morning. You don't have to, but if you're over 60 years old, would you raise your hand? If you're willing, thank you. Thank you. We say that I look at it as he was in the second half of his life. People were living a little bit longer back then, but he was in the second half of his life. So he wasn't a young man, but God called him. Also, God promised him that his seed would bring forth a Savior, and we know also at that time that Sarah had not yet had any children. So Abraham, his father, and his family, they set out on a 600-mile journey. Can you put up that map there? So they started in Ur, they went to Haran, and that was 600 miles. And I want us to take a second to picture this. Just close your eyes and imagine a long, dusty road. I'm not sure what it looked like, but we know it wasn't paved. And it wasn't. It was Abraham, his father, his nephew, their children, their servants, all of their livestock. We know that they were very wealthy. They had possessions. They had tents. And it's not just a family of four packing up a minivan and driving up to Paso, right? You can open your eyes now. It is a mass of animals and humanity. I'm just picturing full of dust and moving slow. And I'll tell you what, you go on a one-hour car ride with some children, how long does it take to hear, are we there yet? 5 minutes? Can I have a snack? I'm hungry. I don't want to walk. My feet won't walk, right? 600 miles. 600 miles. I know oftentimes when we read the story, it's really easy, and they journeyed from here to here. Oh, they just journeyed. No, they didn't just journey. It was an act of faith. So they settled in Haran, and after living there somewhere between 5 and 10 years, at the age of 205, Abraham's father passed away. And it was at that time that God came to Abraham again, and here we pick up in Genesis 12. The Lord said to Abraham, "Leave your country, your relatives, your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. Every generation will be blessed through you. Every nation, including us here today." God gave him a promise that required action. God gave him a promise that he had no way of knowing how it was going to work out. How would I become the father of many nations? I don't even have a son. So at the age of 75, with no children, Abraham set out with his family, including his nephew Lot, and headed out by faith to the land of Canaan. They ended up in a place called Shechem, 400 miles away from where they started. Once again, an arduous journey with probably even more people, because over the course of all those years, children had more children, and flocks had more baby goats, and the group was bigger. But God, when they got to this place, spoke to Abraham again. Then the Lord appeared to Abraham. This is when he was in Shechem. And he said, "I will give this land to your descendants." And Abraham built an altar there and dedicated it to the Lord who had appeared to him. You can put up that map again real quick. That little place there called Shechem, that was the place where God spoke to Abraham and he said, "I will give you this land." But it wasn't very soon after that time that there was a severe famine that came over the land. And Abraham and all of his clan, they took another journey. They went down to Egypt. They were there for a number of years. And then when the famine was over, they returned right back up to that area there, very close to Shechem again. And by this time, it's really cool because the Bible told us that Abraham and Lot had both become so wealthy in possessions, in people, in livestock, in everything that they had, that they could no longer dwell in the same land. I mean, just think about that for a minute. Like, You and one other family member have so much that you can't even live in the city of Santa Maria. You know? Someone had to go to San Luis Obispo because there just wasn't enough room for all of your livestock to graze. And what I think is really cool, Abraham has not yet seen the fruition of any of God's promises yet. All he has done is been obedient. Pack up and move. Pack up and move. I will give you this land. I will make you great. Pack up and move. He goes to another land. Pack up and move. But what we do see is God's hand and God's blessing upon Abraham's life. He is very fruitful. God's hand is upon him. The blessing is there, but he's still holding the promise in his heart. So Abraham and Lot had to part ways. Lot, he went down towards an area of Sodom and Gomorrah, which is a whole nother story for a whole nother time. We're just going to leave Lot from our story here today. And after Lot was gone, God came to Abraham again with this message. This is Genesis 13, 14 through 17. After Lot had gone, the Lord said to Abraham, "Look as far as you can see in every direction, north and south, east and west. I am giving all this land as far as you can see to you and your descendants as a permanent possession. And I will give you so many descendants that, like the dust of the earth, they cannot be counted. Go and walk through the land in every direction, for I am giving it to you." This is the fourth time now that God has promised to make Abraham a great nation. He had followed God's call this far, and we see again that he is willing to take the journey that God will lead him on. But I think we need to pause at this moment in the story, and we need to once again put our Abraham shoes on. Because at this point in time, he's nearing 100 years old. He had moved his family over a total of 1,500 miles. He'd aged about 25 years, and Sarah was no closer to having a child than when they first started. I don't know about you, but I begin to feel some disappointment. God, you gave me a promise. I have walked 1,500 miles, and I don't have a son. What gives? And I think what we can identify with that, right? There's a lot of times that we feel like we have hope, that God has inspired hope for something. I'm just thinking of just very quickly about my grandfather. He died this past year. And for my entire lifetime, my family interceded and prayed that he would receive salvation. And let me tell you, by the time that I hit 30 years old, it's almost like you give up hope, right? Is God's promise really real? We just keep praying and we keep praying and we keep praying, and there's never any progress. Nothing is ever happening. But what we need to do, and what we see in the life of Abraham, is that to never give up, because just weeks before he passed away, my grandfather gave his life to the Lord. Wow. And I know it wasn't tough on just Abraham, because he had a wife who shared in this promise. Probably one who, especially in that culture, felt shame for never having a child. And here God has come and promised you one, but you still don't have it. So there was probably even tension between the two of them, and the longing and the hurting. You could just feel it. And I think we see this a little bit in this discourse between God and Abraham in Genesis 15. And Abraham says, "You have given me no descendants of my own. So one of my servants will be my heir." I think you could just feel the frustration. God, you've given me nothing. So I'll just have one of my servants take over, and that'll be the solution to your problem. We don't have to worry about this anymore. We don't have to continue this conversation. No more promises are needed, and I found the solution, Lord. Frustrated. But then the Lord said to him, "No, your servant will not be your heir. You will have a son of your own who will be your heir." Then the Lord took Abraham outside and said to him, "Look up into the sky and count the stars, if you can. That's how many descendants you will have." And Abraham believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him righteous because of his faith. We see through this process that God promises to Abraham over and over and over that he would inherit this land, that he would have a son, and that the whole world will be blessed. At this point in time, there's been 9 times that God has come to Abraham and renewed this promise over and over and over. And no matter how dismal or hopeless it seems, I don't know about any 100-year-old people today having children. And it obviously wasn't common that back then either, because they said her womb was dried up and they were beyond their childbearing years. It wasn't possible. But nevertheless, Abraham believed. Abraham believed. And within just a few years later, we pick up the story in Genesis 21 that the Lord kept his word and did for Sarah exactly what he promised. She became pregnant, and she gave birth to a son for Abraham in his old age. This happened just at the time that God said it would. Abraham named their son Isaac, and Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born. Can you imagine the joy? Right? Like, I can imagine when they discovered she was pregnant, there was joy, but probably also fear, like, God, is this really it? But there was joy, there was probably tears, there was excitement. It was probably really amazing. And I can just imagine that they gave great, great glory to God for everything that God had done. God had fulfilled his promise that Abraham would have a son. But God wasn't done. There was another test that would come just a few years later. And God asked that Abraham would take his son, his only son, and to sacrifice him. And what we see in the scriptures is that Abraham did everything that he had asked. Now, it doesn't say how he did it. I don't know if he did it begrudgingly. I don't know if he was like wrestling in torment, but I can imagine he was. The promise had been fulfilled, and God had asked him to sacrifice him. But nevertheless, Abraham did everything that God had asked him to do. He traveled to the mountain. They left their servants at the base of the mountain. They traveled up. Abraham built the altar. He bound his son. He placed him on the altar, and he held the knife in his hand. And right before he would strike, God told him to stop. Abraham was faithful to do everything that God had called him to do, no matter what the cost seemed, no matter how it seemed to jeopardize the promise that God had made to him. And we know that God provided a ram that was caught up nearby, and they sacrificed the lamb instead, and they worshiped and they glorified God. And so this morning, what are we so convinced of that we would lay it on the altar before the Lord? Because I was thinking about it, that it's one thing to believe in a promise. It's another thing that once we receive that blessing, to hold it in an open hand. Right? We may believe God for a house. We may believe God for more time, for a job, for retirement, for security, for money, for our kids, right? Our kids. And God bestows those blessings upon us. And how hard is it to sit there and hold it like this because it's really his and not ours. I was thinking about our children this morning. Our job is to hold them loosely because they're the Lord's. Train them up to be incredibly sharp arrows that they may be shot out and impact the world, not to helicopter over them for the rest of their lives. Because I've come to realize, because I've been through both situations, that when you don't live like this and God wants to take that thing from you, he will still take it even if your hand is lives like this, but you didn't have broken fingers, right? He has to pry it. Living like this. And we see that Abraham was willing to live with an open hand, even with his most prized and cherished possession and promise. Abraham was willing to lay it all on the line because his faith was so great. Paul writes this passage in Romans that I want to read to you this morning, and it's a little bit long, but it is powerful. Even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations. For God said to him, "That's how many descendants you will have." And Abraham's faith did not weaken, even though he was about 100 years of age. He figured his body was as good as dead, and so was Sarah's womb. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger. And in this, he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. Let me read that again. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. And because of Abraham's faith, God counted him as righteous. And when God counted him as righteous, it wasn't just for Abraham's benefit, it was recorded for our benefit too, assuring us that God will also count us righteous if we believe in him. The one who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, he was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised to life to make us right with God. Abraham was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. And so what we see here is that no matter what, no matter how dismal things seem in the natural, keep on believing. Journey wrote a song. Don't stop believing. When God speaks, hope explodes, right? God makes promises, and it ignites hope. Because in the natural, we should be hopeless. There's no way it can happen. Just write it off. But God's words spring up seeds of hope in our heart. You may have heard this earlier or later last year, but we have a faithful God who makes promises. Do you guys remember? Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promises is faithful. We have a faithful God who makes promises that brings forth hope so we can then hold unswervingly. This stuff ties together, guys. It is real. Faith is real, and it grows. Amen. It is so great, as I prayed when we opened this morning, that we have faith-filled people who have gone before us and have done extreme things, things and trials that we probably are greater than we would ever face, but we can see their faithfulness time and time and time again to do the right thing, to honor God every time. And there was a couple of conclusions that I, as I was reading this story, that I wanted to share with you this morning. And the first is that God does not care how old you are. And as I was reading the section where Abraham was in Haran, and he said that he was 75 years old, I am not saying how old this person is, but I'm just saying it's around this area. I had in my mind Papa Ron. Papa Ron, you guys all know Papa Ron? Okay. I had this picture of Papa Ron sitting on his front porch. You know, maybe he was watering some flowers. And God shows up and he says, Papa Ron, I have a 1,600-mile journey for you to go on. I want you to collect up all of your things, and I want you to go. And I see him right now. He's shaking his head, and he's smiling. He's out in the courtyard. But it's in the second half of his life. God does not care how old you are, because I can tell you that it would not be outside of the realm of possibility that one day God would come to Papa Ron, even in his grandfatherly age, and God would call him to do something, and he would respond, because God doesn't care how old you are. He also doesn't care if you've disqualified yourself, right? He doesn't care about the things you've done in your past. Even if you're in the second half of your life, like we talked about Father Abraham being in the second half of his life, God can redeem what you did in the first half by the call he would have for you in the second half. So God doesn't care how old you are. The scripture in Hebrews, I kind of edited out a little bit, but these are just some parts of the scripture, because it was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as an inheritance. And it was even when he reached the land God promised, he lived there by faith, for he was like a foreigner living in tents. It was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child, even though she was barren and too old. She believed that God would keep his promises. It was by faith that Rhonda bakes cookies and goes and visits shut-ins and people who are hurting, and shares and ministers the love of Jesus. It is by faith every Monday Ken drives from San Luis Obispo here and leads a group of men in a Bible study. It is by faith Barry is moving to Texas, and he has chosen to partner with Pastor Joel in missions over this next season of time, as he'll have some time to share. And he is going to be going to other regions of the world to be changing lives and reaching people for Jesus. It is by faith. It is by faith. It is by faith. What will we do by faith? What is God calling us out of? But equally important is, what is God calling us to? We need to remember our past, but not be focused on it. And we need to keep our eyes gazed ahead about what God would have for us in the future ahead, because he doesn't care at what time you start. All he wants you to do is to start following. The second thing that God does not do is he does not give us all the answers. Back up to Hebrews 11, 13. It's just two verses following from where we stopped. Speaking of Abraham and Sarah, he says, all these people died still believing what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it all from a distance and welcomed it. They agreed that they were foreigners and nomads here on this earth. Abraham never saw the fulfillment of possessing the land. He had a son. He got to see half the fulfillment. He had the son, but he never got to see the fulfillment of the land. Part of that is sometimes we don't know. We don't know what we're not ready for. And we could say, would it have been different if God from the beginning had told Abraham that you're going to move your family over 1,700 miles, which, to give you perspective on that, that's the distance from walking you and your family from here to Mexico City. Yeah. That he would be a nomad, never settling in any one area, that he would always be on the move, and that he would never see the fulfillment of the promise, and that he would be asked to sacrifice his own son. Sometimes God does not give us all the answers, because we know that we have a gracious God who really loves us and knows that sometimes we can't handle it all. For other reasons, it's just not time. Abraham did all this work. He went all this way because it was for his future generations, right? It would just be natural that you wouldn't see the fulfillment of that. And I think a lot of us are in that boat today, and we don't even realize it. It's falling out of the boat. We're in that boat today, and we don't even realize it because it's a million. Let me back up. I want to tell you a story. I worked with this guy, and he's about the same age as I was. And this was just about 4 years ago. We were at work one day, and he looked at me, and he said, "Zach, one day I would love to have what you have. Kids, a family, a wife that loves you." And I looked at him, and I'd be like, I didn't tell him this, but my thought was, I don't know if you can. Because we didn't just end up with this. It was hundreds and hundreds of decisions that we made day after day after day and year after year of following Jesus, putting aside the things that we would want to do, submitting ourselves to the things that God would call us to do that lead us here today. And that's how it is when we build for the future generations. Our grandchildren aren't just going to be blessed by happenstance, right? My kids are really amazing. But they're not just amazing because I'm amazing. They're... See, you know it. You know it's true. They're not just amazing because I'm amazing or my wife's amazing, even though she is absolutely amazing. But part of that is it started with my parents and breaking some generational curses of being like, we are saying no to alcoholism. We are saying no to sleeping around. We are saying no to all of these things and drugs and intoxication, all this stuff. They broke that off. They said, no, in our line, our lineage will now be different. And they didn't know at the time, when I was just a wee little baby, that making that decision would be changing generations down the road. But our children love Jesus at an even greater level because my grandparents love Jesus. Let's go to that next map. I just want to show you this. The first map there, Karen, thank you. The first map there is, you can see Shechem there, and that's where God promised him the land. That's the area where he told him to walk to the north, the south, the east, and the west. And if you go to the next slide there, right in the middle is Shechem. And that is the area that the 12 tribes of Israel eventually occupied. And how awesome is that, that hundreds, I think it was about 500 years prior to them actually moving in and beginning to occupy this area, God placed a promise in Abraham's heart, and 500 years later, it began to come to fruition. Can you go to the next slide there? And it's a little tough to see, actually, it's almost impossible to see, but that area there sits very near and partially inside where Israel is today, where God's people still dwell. And God promised Abraham that his people, his descendants, would occupy that land forever. And that is still happening today because God's promises are real and they are powerful. But sometimes, coming back to we don't always know all the answers, I want to tell you about a friend of mine. This is Danielle. She's a very good friend of Pastor Tim and Kelly and Kaylin and my wife and I. And she is really a remarkable person. She has the largest smile of just about anyone you've ever met. And she is probably one of the most joyful people that you've ever met. And you could tell from this picture that she walks with canes. She has had cerebral palsy her entire life. And her story is such that she is someone who had everything stacked against her. Her mother was a drug addict. She will tell you jokingly that she at times lived in a van down by the river. She has had everything that could go wrong and not right for someone, Everything has come against her. And when she was a very young woman, she gave her life to Jesus. And it was soon after that God gave her a promise that he would heal her. And it has been decades now. It has been decades that she has held onto this promise. There's even been periods of her life where she's had to be confined to a wheelchair just because the pressure and the pain that this puts on her body. And although if you were to meet her today, you would say she's probably one of the most joyful, vivacious, passionate people about Jesus that you've ever met, I've seen her in times where she's fallen, she's slipped on ice, she's smashed her face, she's been in insane amounts of pain because she can't walk like most of us walk. But I will tell you that no matter how dismal those days seem to be, she never gives up. She never stops holding on to the fact that she knows that her God gave her a promise that she's holding on to, that one day she will walk. And not only is hope springing up in her because of that promise, but it is infectious, absolutely infectious to the lives of those who are around her. There is no denying that God gave her a promise. And that hope is springing up, and that hope is infectious. And we get to be the same way when we hold on to the promises of God. But it doesn't guarantee that we have all the answers. Because I've come to realize this. As I said, God is so good, sometimes we cannot be burdened with more than we're ready to handle. And he is more interested in who we are becoming, because sometimes the process is critical to who we will become. It is also a part of our faith building, and like Father Abraham, the fulfillment may not be realized for many generations. But I will say this, God is faithful to place the promise in our hearts and ignite the hope that we need to sustain us on the journey. I'll say that one more time. God is faithful to place the promise in our hearts and ignite the hope that we need to sustain us on the journey. God does not give us all the answers. And finally, God does not give up on us. First, God knows that we are not God because he created us. He made promises to Abraham over and over and over again. Like I said, just in that one section, that God at 9 times had made that promise over and over, and he'd given him instruction over and over. And you know what God didn't do? He didn't come to Abraham when he was in Ur and say, Abraham, here's what I want you to do, and just start walking, and one day things will work out. See you on the flip side. No. God walked with him day after day after day. And we see over and over again God repeating his promises to Abraham because God never left him. God will not give up on us. I mentioned earlier that God can redeem our past. God is continually coming after us. I'm reminded this morning of the scripture, for I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor any other thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God, and it is for that reason he will not give up on us. He will not give up on us. I don't care what it is you've done. I don't care what it is you've done. God can forgive the past. He can redeem it with what he has for you in the future today. God does not care how old you are. He does not give us all the answers. But we know that God does not give up on us. I started out by singing, Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them. And so are you. So are you. So let's just praise the Lord. We praise you this morning, Jesus.